It was in 1984 that photographer Peter Feldstein set out to photograph every resident of his town, Oxford, Iowa, population 676. Well, 20 years later, he did it again, but this time, those same residents did more than pose. They shared their memories, their fantasies, their failures, their secrets and fears with writer Stephen G. Bloom. The result is a collection of personal stories and portraits, and it's called the Oxford Project, and it actually, for the first time, will be presented on stage in New York this weekend by the American Place Theater. Joining us live on the line is Stephen Bloom, one of the original writers, co-authors of the Oxford Project, and Katrina Fried, who's the associate publisher of Welcome Books, the book publishing firm that brought us the Oxford Project originally. Good morning to you both.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, listen, first of all, I want to congratulate you and ask you right off the bat, how is this becoming a stage piece at the American Place Theater?
Welcome approached the American Place Theater in a collaborative effort to bring this beautiful book to the stage. And the American Place Theater, you know, has this incredible, wonderful history of producing American playwrights. And it felt to us like the perfect home for the story of a quintessential American town. And they've been wonderful. Very supportive, and they brought wonderful actors to the stage for us. And David Kennar, their executive director, is directing the piece, and it promises, I think, to be very special.
I know that they've been doing American Place Theater over the years, what's called the Literature to Life program.
That's
so
correct.
They basically bring books to life, in a sense, on stage?
They do. They work with actors to use books as material, and very, very accurately. They don't rewrite. They simply stick to the correct text, and they perform whole books in one-man shows in schools and universities and venues all across America as a way of sort of bringing literature back to kids in a way that they've never, bringing it alive, is, I think, the right way to say it.
Mm. And Stephen Bloom, tell us a little bit of your own backstory and how you first came upon Peter Feldstein. Did you know each other?
Peter and I were colleagues at the University of Iowa, where Peter used to teach photography and I still teach narrative writing. Oxford's about 18 miles west of the University of Iowa. It's a tiny, sleepy little town of about 700 people. Everyone knows everyone else. There are not many secrets in town because everyone knows everything about everyone else. Oxford's the kind of place where when you don't put on your turn signals when you're driving your pickup because everyone behind you would know exactly where you're going. People know you by the sound of your car, the sound of your engine.
Does everyone drive a pickup for the most part?
Pretty much so. There might be a couple of old American model cars in town, but it's a sweet, quintessential American town in the middle of this country. It's the kind of place where there really are Joe the plumbers who are just plumbers, not politicians. And so Peter and I have been good friends, and I knew Peter in 1984 had this crazy, wacky idea to take pictures of every single person in the town. He took 671 out of the 673 people, had a little show in town. And 20 years later, Peter and I were doing nothing, just sitting around, and I asked him whatever happened to those photographs. And he said, well, I still got them. And I said, well, you need to go and take pictures of the people who are still around. That he did. And Peter created diptychs, the picture in 84, the picture in 2005, and put them side by side. And we were blown away by how similar but how different these people looked.
The 20 years difference is what he was trying to capture, right?
Yeah, I mean, not many people lost too much weight. People put on a couple pounds. A lot of hair was lost in those 20 years. But there was a certain kind of sense of life that we found through all of these pictures. 20 years is a long time. People children die, adults die, there's hardship, but we also found a sense of jubilation in a lot of people. Their lives had really come together. And Peter had photographed in 84 infants ranging from 2 to 3 months old all the way up to people who were 98 years old. So we have in this collection, which we will be turning into theater at American Place Theater on Sunday, we really have just a compilation of Americana, of people talking about their trials, their tribulations, their successes, their jubilations, just what their lives have been in the last two decades.
Now, I wanted to ask, originally this started out as a strictly photographic project. Why did you both feel that it needed words added to it? The story's actually written out. Why weren't the photographs just enough to tell the story?
The photographs tell half the story, but we wanted to be able to give these photographic subjects words so that instead of just for the reader, for the viewer to look at these pictures, for the reader really to understand what's going on, what's ticking in everyone's head. And we really found interesting stories. You know, if you just let people, as you know this, Bonnie, if you just let people talk, they will tell you a story. And so we found stories about infidelity. We found stories about everything from alcoholism to advocations. We found a guy who's a plumber who's also a nudist a couple of times a year.
Does he make an appearance on stage?
We're going to have someone play him. It's going to be up to
I get it. Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, how...
He wants to really play the scene to the hilt.
How has the stage piece matched these? Katrina, have you been able to see any rehearsals for this?
Yeah, we've done a couple table reads so far, and we're putting it up on its feet and seeing how it works. Essentially, we're trying to keep it very simple. We're trying to allow the words and the images to be the star of the piece. And what is really wonderful to watch is the way that the words sort of bring the pictures to life, and vice versa, when you hear it as opposed to just reading it. It's really kind of a new experience. And it works. I mean, it really works. It's sort of, I don't know if you remember a show that was in New York some years ago called The Exonerated, but it has a similar kind of format, you know, actors on stools reading.
And that's what this is going to be.
It's a format that's similar to the vagina monologues.
Yeah.
In that nobody's like maybe rehearsing or memorizing lines. They can actually read in a sense.
No. In this case, and at this point, we are, you know, as we're sort of exploring the theatrical possibilities of this project, we really sort of wanted to keep it as simple as we possibly could. And I think that it allows sort of the words to get explored more easily by the actors. There's no sort of artifice. It's very straightforward and very real. And they're not pretending to be the people they're reading. They are actors who are bringing those people, you know, to the audience at that moment, sharing their words and Stephen's brilliant sort of edit of their words. And I think that the result is similar in a funny way to the book, which is to say that it simply allows you to experience without commenting, and the effect is pretty moving. It's very touching.
What do we learn from both of you, since we have to wrap up soon, about 90 seconds here, what do we learn from the Oxford Project?
Go for it.
We're going to learn what it's like to be a butcher, what it's like to live for 40 years with a man, and after he dies to realize that he's had an affair for 15 of those years. We're going to learn about a World War II veteran who is the last living of the first four Americans who liberated Buchenwald. Never talked about this. What we're going to learn is that in very quiet ways, people in an unassuming way really can become heroes. And Oxford really is like no other small town in one way, but in another way, it's like all towns. It could be like New York City. It could be like Boston. It's really a town of people who have stories to tell. And these stories are just scintillating. They are galvanizing. They really are important stories that talk about the underbelly and also the surface of the lives that we all live.
Mm. And Katrina, this works. I mean, taking something out of the pages of a book and bringing it to life on stage, you're saying it really is going to work for...
It's exciting. It's exciting. I hope and believe that this will be the first step in a long theatrical life for the Oxford Project. I would really love to see it evolve into a full-blown performance here in New York. I think it's a wonderful way to reach a new audience that the book, you know, may have missed.
And does the photographer Peter Feldstein feel the same way?
He does. He does. And the images
Absolutely.
Are very important. They're very important to the performance. You know, the images are as important as the words, and they remain up behind all the actors reading throughout the performance. And he's very excited as well, yeah.
That's great. And we congratulate you both. And Katrina, you've got to be very excited. I mean, this is, as it is, an award-winning book and chosen by National Public Radio as an NPR best book. So
yes.
Congratulations to both of you and all of you involved in the Oxford Project. Hey, Katrina, Stephen, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Okay, Break a Leg this Sunday. It's having its world premiere on stage, The Oxford Project, coming from the pages of the book by Welcome Books to the stage of the American Place Theater this Sunday, May 31st. And the performance time is 7 p.m. And just Google The American Place Theater. Theater or theoxfordproject.com, or you can go online at NPR's picture book and see some of the photos there. And you're in the morning on WLIU.